At 25 minutes after the hour, it being a Transcendent Tuesday, we're calling on Dr. Don Clark for his wisdom. He is the sage of Garden Valley, Texas.
Oh, boy. Yep. We are in trouble.
That's not bad. I kind of like that. Yeah.
It's not a bad title.
Don's a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments. We talk to him frequently, just about every Tuesday. And he brings us all kinds of interesting, worthwhile things concerning, well, Scripture. Often, sometimes it's about science and it's about vaccines, or it's about nuclear fusion or fission. Which is the newest? Fusion is the new one. Fusion is okay.
Fusion.
And we've covered that, and we've covered Genesis, and we've covered Daniel, and now we discovered a new, shall I call it, a trough of knowledge here. On Jesus' parables, and we're learning, we're picking those apart, and trying to understand it the way the contemporary audience, the people at the time, would have understood it, if they could. But Jesus has said some mystical things about parables in response to his disciples' questions. He says, "For those, if you have ears to hear, but they don't understand." And we tried to explain that once, Don, and I don't think it got through to me.
About having ears to hear.
Yeah, so the parables are meant for a selective audience, which may not include his whole audience at the moment. Is that what it could be for parables?
Yes, and as we'll see as we go through the parables, some of these parables are going to, not the ones we're covering today, but some of them are specifically against the scribes and the Pharisees. And
So he was talking, making reference to them then. They supposedly had ears to hear. And
they were supposed to have
receive his shot across the bow. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And they didn't understand. See, because in order to understand the parables, Jesus was basically saying you have to have a heart after God and really desire to know him. And, you know, some of the Pharisees got locked into their ritual and kind of lost their heart for God. And they were just going through the motions and really weren't pursuing God. So
I suspect
God,
it may have also been a matter of being an agrarian villager. I mean, if you worked the land every day and you knew sheep and you knew olive groves and you knew all that stuff, the kinds of things he referred to in his parables, even salt and light, the Pharisees would have been a little detached from that, I would think.
They should have known salt, and they should know light too. I mean, obviously they know, you know. So some of the parables, yes, maybe the agrarian type of parables, they may not have caught the symbolism behind them. But if you have a heart for God, you have a better chance of seeing what God is, what Jesus is talking about. Now, all the parables are kingdom parables. That is, he's referring to some aspect of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, you know, depending. So these are principles that the Pharisees wouldn't have understood because their knowledge was all based on rules and regulations, and you have to do this, and if somebody, you know, sins against their neighbor, then this is the recipe for salvation, if you will. So a lot of these things are foreign, you know, would be foreign to them because we're at a different dimension than what the Old Testament was referring, although the Old Testament is you know, Jesus concealed, and once you know who Jesus is and you look back at the Old Testament, you can say, aha, there's Jesus right there, and oh, he's over here too, and this represents that in the Old Testament. So he's there, but he is concealed, and if you don't have the perspective, you know, a godly perspective, a heavenly perspective, sometimes or oftentimes you may miss what is actually going on.
And he had a very mixed audience here today. This was early in his ministry. He's gone back up north from the Jordan River Valley, and he's on a mountainside or a flat part of the mountain, and he delivers his very famous Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And his audience, first of all, it's his disciples. They came to him. And I get the sense that mostly he's talking to his disciples, but he'd like everyone to hear. Within that group, though, are Pharisees as well, because they're paying attention to him now. He's starting to make a reputation for himself. In fact, in modern lingo, he's becoming a rock star, and the Pharisees are a little worried about that. And so he's given his Beatitudes, and then he starts talking about salt and light. Explain that one to us.
Mm. All right. Well, this is in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and we'll also look at Luke. But so let's look at salt. And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So what is Jesus referring to here as far as, what does he mean by saying that we are the salt of the earth? What are some of the characteristics of salt? I mean, good salt, let's say. Good salt flavors food. It preserves food, for example. And when it, he says, when it's lost its savor or flavor, then it's no good anymore. So how do we lose our saltiness? If we are salt in the, in the earth, of course. The other thing that, salt does, of course, if you put salt on a wound, it helps, helps to purify the wound, but it stings like an awful lot, to put salt on the wound. So he's referring to that we need to have an impact in, to our environment, that we're not necessarily supposed to blend in.
We need to contribute. We need to contribute something.
Yeah, and we're supposed to be different. And if we're not different, if maybe we start off being different and then we get lost in the cares of this world and we lose our saltiness.
When we get homogenized.
Yeah, and we start to take on worldly things. And Jesus said, well, you're not good for anything anymore. So that is a pretty severe warning to those who, were once salt and then have lost their savor or lost their flavor. And he says, you're no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, the people that were listening to this would understand that, because once the salt that they had in their kitchen or lost its taste, they would throw it out and they would put salt on the road so it would be trampled under people's feet, and it would help build the base of the road, for example, and keep plants from growing and stuff like that, keep the path clear, if you will. But he's saying, if you don't continue in your passion for me and for doing the work of God, then what value are you to the kingdom of God? So that's the saltiness. Now let's look at the light, for example. And the light, he says, he continues with this particular parable, and he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So again, light of the world, same kind of concept that we had for the salt. But who is the light? Well, Jesus is the light, right? If you read the first part of John chapter 1, he is the light of the world. So what he's saying here is you got to keep plugged into me so that you're a light. You're a light to the world. And what is the world? The world is dark. So the world does not know goodness because there's no goodness in the world except those that have the light. So if you're not bringing the light to the world, it's the same as if you had your light under a bushel and you hid yourself away from the world instead of being out in the world so that all may see. And what do they see? It says that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So those that see will give glory to God, to your Father who is in heaven.
Does this relate to your calling, coming to realize, understand what you've been made to do on behalf of the kingdom? In other words, what talents, what aptitudes, what abilities you have need to be exercised to bring glory to God?
Yes, I mean, he designed each one of us individuals. We're all individuals, and he's given us different, not only a different skill set, but he's placed within us, how we are to share the gospel. And, we know that some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers, some are prophets, those are the some of the giftings, but we all have giftings. We all, in whatever we do, I mean, even this, hopefully this radio program is part of sharing the good news, the gospel, that there is hope for this world. And the hope, of course, is Jesus Christ. So he's basically saying, whatever it is, whatever God designed you to be, and how do we find that out? Well, we find it out by seeking him. And he places within us certain desires and certain giftings that then get, manifested in our lives, not only to glorify God, but to help spread the good news. And we do this, in many, many different ways. It's not just in the church. As a matter of fact, most of it should be out, right? I mean, you could say that if you're just doing good works in the church, you're hiding your light under a basket. Mm. And that's not the concept here. The concept here is that, hey, your light's supposed to shine before men. Well, if you're only doing good works in the church, it's not shining before men. It's shining before some men, but it's not shining before the darkness in the world, which is where we need to be.
Let me give you a little example, because this just happened to me yesterday. And this is what seemed to almost everybody like a trivial thing, but to me, it was a bright light of a moment in my day. My wife and I had gone to the grocery store, and we put together stuff from my list, and we were checking out, and she said, "Did you get milk?" And I said, "No." "Uh-oh, I'll go back and get that." So I said, "I'll go out, and you meet me at the car." Well, we were parked some distance away, so I went out with the groceries we had, put them in the car, and then I stood outside with my arms folded, and this woman came along and looked at me and smiled, and she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Well, yes, I forgot something on my list, and I'm waiting for my wife. I'm just marking our parking place for her." And she said, "Oh, well, okay." And I said, "Well, I'm doing penance."
She's doing penance.
I'm doing penance because I'm punished. I'm made to stand here so that she knows where to come, though. And she just laughed, went on her way to her car, and then came back as she was leaving and wished me a great day. You know, it was just a pleasant interchange with happy people. Those things are special, and they're few and far between these days.
Well, and, you know, we need to be that. You know, we don't need to be sourpusses and walk around, you know, with a frown on our face.
I said I blew it. I forgot the item on the shopping list, so I'm doing penance here. And she understood. She kind of, anyway,
but engaging,
it was fun.
Yeah, engaging in people. A little conversation like that, what did it cost you? I mean, it actually lifted your spirit.
It did, and hers. I mean, it was just a fun interchange, that's all.
And we should be, you know, we should be doing that. We should be going around. Look, we have the light within us, or we're supposed to, all right? And we have the light, so we need to let that light shine.
No, she did say one thing to me. I said, I'm doing penance, and she laughed, and she said, you've probably done a lot of that, haven't you? you're good at that, I can tell.
Yes. Yes. So salt and light. I mean, it's, you know, the light. Here's Luke 8:16-18 says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. But puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known or come to the light. Now, this is a little different twist, isn't it? Take care, then, how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even that he takes, he thinks that he has, will be taken away. Different slant on, you know. So, again, an exhortation to let your light shine, but it's also, you know, if you've got a little bit, and you're letting a little bit of light shine, more will be given to you. But if you don't, the little bit that you have, you know, will be taken away. So it's a warning that we're not to be static. We're not to stay where we are. We should be continually, you know, seeking the Lord and continually growing in our light. And how do we do that? Well, we read scripture, we ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate, if you will, certain passages that we don't understand, and we grow in the Lord. And as we grow in the Lord, the light can shine more brightly through us, because we have more revelation as to how good God is and how much God loves us. And the more of that revelation that we have, the more we want to spread God's love to, you know, people around the world and those, you know, closest to us, whether it be in the grocery store or outside the grocery store, or, you know, in church, or meeting new people, you know, in church or home groups, or, you know, wherever it might be that we are shining this light and hopefully continuing to grow.
Shining is an active verb, isn't it?
So think of a candle, right? I mean, it's hard. I mean, even an incandescent bulb or even a light, any type of light requires energy. So a candle, you know, it's burning the wax, and the act of burning actually produces the light, but it's using energy. It's got to have an energy source. So, you know, our light has an energy source, and that energy source is the Holy Spirit. So if we're not continually connected to the energy source, to the Holy Spirit, then what happens to our light? You know, it starts to get dim. And we're selfish creatures by nature. If you haven't figured that out, we're pretty selfish creatures. And it's only through the love of God and staying connected to Him that we can care about people, and that we begin to see God's love for the other person. And that perspective changes our perspective about other people. You know, they're not just people on the street. These are people. God wishes that none shall perish. And, you know, He loves them just as much as He loves you, even if they're not saved. He loves them still, and He wants them to know Him. So He has sacrificed a lot. I mean, He sacrificed His only begotten Son, right? So that we might have right relationship with Him. He wants that for all people. Now, are all people going to accept Him? No, but it is our responsibility to show God's light to them. However, we may do it in the moment by being pleasant, by being kind, by opening the door for, you know, a lady or somebody that, you know, they have their hands full, they've got kids all over the place and they can't open the door, you know, doing those little gestures.
Or marking the location of your car by standing by it, you know.
By standing by it, holding your hands and having a frown on your face.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that.
how does this apply to the call to remain in community as a Christian? Because there's a temptation sometimes with all the news and all the stuff going on and privacy fences and people busy, there's a tendency to want to withdraw and just persist or exist on your own. And there might be something special in here just for the idea of seniors. To not withdraw, you have a responsibility, in essence a debt to pay, to stay involved and bring your talents to bear wherever you happen to be. In other words, bloom where you're planted.
Yes. And so, you know, where does that kind of fit in? We are to stay involved. And if we listen to the news all the time, you know, but the news, they don't necessarily report good things. Sometimes they do. Here's a nice little story of somebody helping somebody, and you know, some television stations have features like that. But for the most part, it's bad news.
Well, the weight of the news seems to be increasing geometrically now. I mean, it's getting, yeah. I mean, just David and I sitting here looking at news, I mean, this gets to be a downer, you know?
Yeah, it does. So come against that. I mean, not necessarily come against the bad news, but we can't have that bad news filtering in to our souls every day, every moment of the day, and that type of thing. I have gone from listening to the news, you know, even news commentaries, commentators and things like that, to listening to worship music.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you do that, your countenance changes. Because you don't think, my God, you know, the world is falling apart. And yes, guess what? It's always been falling apart since Satan came, right, mm-hmm. from the garden. And it looks like it's falling apart faster now.
And going on for quite some time, yeah.
Than it has, yeah, for some time. And, you know, we know that a third of the scripture is prophecy. So we shouldn't be surprised with that. But we need to be connected. We need to be plugged into the energy source. And, you know, the way you do that, reading your scripture, listening to worship music, you know, change the channel, put on, you know, good worship music. And it brightens your day, so that when you do go to the grocery store, you can engage people with a smile on your face, and have you know, the joy of Jesus in your heart as opposed to the cares of this world.
And another tip is to read the end of the book, because it's all been taken care of. You know, it's not your responsibility to fix the whole thing. It's Jesus is going to take care of that at some point. So, you know, don't let it get you down. And just persist in the gifts and the talents and the aptitudes you have, and stay involved. Stay in Christian community. It's essential. Don, thank you so much for what you bring us. Don, again, the vice president of the board at creationmoments.com. That's their website. And there's lots of information on the biblical story of creation there, creationmoments.com. You might pay them a visit. It's a beautiful site, and there's stuff you can use there in your small Bible studies or just your own personal study. You find it very useful, I think. creationmoments.com. Don, we'll look forward to next week.
All right, very good. So we're back to science and faith next week.
That we are. We'll look forward to that, too. Bye-bye.
So long. Y'all have a great week.